today on Real Radio.
The Bible says this is real. So I don't believe it. Well, you may not believe it now, but you will believe it someday. You ought to believe it now so you don't wind up believing it too late, right? You don't want to have perfect theology in hell.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, even though the Apostle Peter is older, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth these days, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we head further into chapter 2, we see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and the danger of following what seems so close to the truth, but according to the Bible, are outright lies. Now we'll see how God condemns false teachers who are ruled by Satan by judging their character and deceitful ways. So today on day 2 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God gives more grace to those who choose to humble themselves and submit to Him, so much so that when we resist the devil, he has to flee from us. We just need to stop doubting, trust God, and rest in Him. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says that God created things that are visible and invisible. And when you think about physics is really the arrangement of matter. Matter. This podium is an arrangement of matter. You are an arrangement of matter. That's called physics. But scientists tell us that there's antimatter. There's matter in the reverse. There's a lot of books written about this. There's a lot of theories on this. Dark matter, antimatter. And what is that? What is that? Scientists are telling us that there's a world out there that is molecularly different than the physical universe that you and I observe. And theoretically, there could be another world going right through this sanctuary right now, completely oblivious of one of another, because we are in a different molecular alignment. Are you hearing me? This is wild, but it is theoretically and maybe even scientifically true that if antimatter is doing what it does, it could pass through this room and you never know it. And that shouldn't surprise you in a sense, because if you could see the radio waves that are passing through this room right now, did you know that? There's all kinds of music, there's talk shows, there's TV, there's all kinds of broadcasts going all the way through. So I want you to open your mind to the fact that all around you, you're surrounded with information. And you and I are so accustomed to this realm of physics that we fail to think of the invisible realm. And God says the invisible realm will outlive this physical one that we know of. That the spiritual antimatter, as it were, if you allow me to say it, the spiritual realm, its longevity is far greater than this physical realm. I've offered up this man's quote before. It's worth repeating. Robert Jastrow, astronomer, astroplanetary physicist, once the director of NASA's Goddard Space Center. Robert Jastrow wrote this, highly respected scientist. He wrote, and I read, "For the scientist who has lived by his faith," notice his verbiage, I like the way he talks. "For the scientist who has lived by his faith in the power of reason, the story ends like a bad dream. He has scaled the mountain of ignorance. He is about to conquer the highest peak. He pulls himself over the final rock, and he's greeted by a band of theologians who have been sitting there for centuries." In the context of creation, Jastrow was speaking, in the context of God and science. It's very powerful. Which should open up our eyes to the reality. As uncomfortable as it might be, it's true nonetheless. In Daniel 4, verse 13, the Bible tells us, "I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, Behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. The word watcher is a spirit entity, a spirit being. Some scholars will tell you that the watcher is a holy angelic watcher. And that certainly is true. But some scholars will tell you that Daniel is recording to you the fact that what was happening is that there was a holy one, which is also a reference to an angel, and there's a watcher, which is a reference to the bad team, the dark side. Now, what's interesting about the book of Daniel and other places, we know, for example, in Daniel chapter 9, that in the atmosphere over the region of Persia today, it's mentioned Iran, Persia in the Bible, same location. The Bible tells us that over Persia was a demonic, angelic war taking place, that the angel that was coming to answer Daniel was delayed. How many days? Anybody remember? 21 days he couldn't break through the war that was in the atmosphere, spiritually speaking, to get Daniel the answer because of demonic forces. That's what the Bible says. Here's the challenge. Do you believe that or not? Because we don't like to believe that. That there's powers in play. That there's things like that happening. But the Bible says there is always watchers. According to the Bible, watchers and angels are always involved, always monitoring human activity. For one thing, here's proof. Luke 15:10 says, Jesus said it, likewise, I say to you this, that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Did you know that? When one sinner comes to Christ, angels rejoice. That means they are witnesses, correct? What about, remember Balaam and his donkey riding along? Balaam had no idea that following him was an angel. He couldn't see him. That's weird. Listen, the Bible tells us the donkey saw the angel, but the human, Balaam, he couldn't see the angel. Isn't that weird? What does that mean? I don't know. I don't know, but when your dog sits up and looks around the house, it's like, whoa. The donkey sees this angel and the donkey stops. Balaam starts beating his donkey for being rebellious, and then the angel intervenes. The Bible says this is real. So I don't believe it. Well, you may not believe it now, but you will believe it someday. You ought to believe it now so you don't wind up believing it too late, right? You don't want to have perfect theology in hell. Imagine what Adolf Hitler could preach to us today on. No, you need to know it now. This is what you need to know. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1 and 2, it says, let brotherly love continue, and do not forget to entertain strangers. Be nice to strangers. For by doing so, some have unknowingly or unwittingly entertained angels. You ever think of that? The Bible says, you may have given a drink of water to an angel. That implies that an angel can appear and be in our presence as though they're so absolutely human, you can't tell them apart from us. That's power. They can take on angelic beings in the Bible, take on physical attributes, and then disappear. By the way, I'm going to drop a little hint. Nowhere is that mentioned of demons. Don't confuse fallen angels with demons. I think that would be a mistake. Jude chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Jude 1, 6 and 7. We are wrestling, friends. We are warring against. We are in the middle of spirit entity beings in a warfare of the other realm. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, they didn't stay where they were supposed to stay. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, but left their own abode. He, God, has reserved in everlasting chains. Sounds like Peter. Under darkness for the judgment of the great day. And just like that, similar, another warning, verse 7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities that were there in similar manner have given themselves over to sexual immorality, that's the great sin, and gone after unsanctioned flesh, unauthorized flesh. That is not only male on male sex or female on female sex. It's human to animal. It is, listen, the Bible teaches it's from fallen angel to human. I don't want to freak you out too much, but if you'd like to look at this more closely, it'd keep you up all night, but go look at the words succubus or incubus and pray before you study those words and look at the connection between Greek mythology, satanic worship, and the occult. And you will be shocked. Remember how Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun? Well, there's nothing new under the sun. It's quite bizarre. But he goes on in Jude, for Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities that are around them in similar manner given to these, sexual immorality, gone after strange or unsanctioned flesh, has set forth as an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Remarkable. So you just need to stop and think. I don't need to be diverted by the fact that God says, I have made a male human for a purpose. Now, we get all funny and goofy about talking like this, but God is a perfect designer. The way that the male body is created, I'll admit, it's absolutely utilitarian. The male body is built for hard work. And it's built for creating life. The female's body's created differently. Now that may offend some of you who never got out of third grade science or physics, but that's just too bad. Okay, by and large, men can carry more. They're more beast of burdens. And all the women said, yeah. That was your moment. You should have really jumped on that one. Notice that God didn't, listen, when he said that in the Bible, God says that the woman is the weaker vessel, he didn't mean that she was deficient. It means that she was more gentle. It's a compliment, not an insult. We come along, hey, what? We come in swinging before we know what's going on. That's why we need a woman in our life. Guys, see, she got it. It's absolutely true. But the Bible tells us, and I'm not going to belabor it. If you weren't here last week, you can get the study online. The Bible tells us in Genesis 6 that the sons of God, angelic host, saw that the daughters of humans were seductive and came into them. And that those women produced the men of renown, the Bible says. The words translated gigantes or Nephilim or Raphaim. See, that's weird. I know it's weird, but it's in the Bible. And some of my friends even will do everything they can to argue that to not be true, and it just fails every time. The angels that did not stay in their proper domain went after unsanctioned flesh, and they cohabitated with human females. And the Bible says that the kids born were men of renown. They were freaks. They were heroes of the ancient realm, of the ancient world. The Bible describes them having six fingers and six toes. The Bible tells us that in that case, in numerous cases, both before the flood and then it happened again after the flood, that they were giants in the land. Raphaims. And when you read 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll hear about David and his men killing giants who stood over 9 and 10 feet tall, who had spears that weighed 135 pounds, swords that were massive and huge, strange things. So I would put this out to you. You say, well, this is freaky. Yeah, it's freaky. You know, it's freaky, but have you ever, I don't encourage you, please don't see this, but Hollywood seems to understand this just fine. Have you ever seen the movie, is it Damien? Yes. And The Omen? Don't go see these. Don't download them. Or Rosemary's Baby? Hello. It's like they read Genesis 6 and then made a movie. The Bible warns us. So Jack, you said something earlier I haven't gotten past yet. Angels, demons, the difference. Oh yeah, absolutely. Angels appear and disappear at will. And when they appear, you can't tell if they're human or not. They look just like us. You could even be tricked. It says be nice to strangers because you could even be nice or rude to an angel. Demons, not so. Demons always have to have something. They need an animal. They need a human. They need something with vacancy. I'm not joking. I'm not saying that to be funny. It has to be vacant. What does that mean? It means that there has to be something that does not have the Holy Spirit in it. That's why it's impossible for a Christian to be possessed. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. You think he's going to move over for some demon? He's not going to share you. He bought you and he lives inside of you. It's not cramped in there. A demon is something altogether different. A demon has to have something to possess or to be in the vicinity of. Those of you who have studied any form of biblical demonology, which there's a book by Merrill Unger. It's a classic, best thing ever written. It's required reading in theological courses. Biblical demonology, Merrill Unger. Demons throughout history have been around or near things that are either pagan or unsanctioned by God. If it's an actual animal, they'll be in an animal. Or if it's a doll or a statue, that's why Paul said to the Corinthians, stop worshiping statues. You don't even realize that when you do that, you are bowing down to demons. Icons, things like that. Watch out. Dangerous. When Jesus came to the north shore of the Galilee, we touched again on it last week. Remember the man demon possessed? And we found out that man in the Bible says that there were many demons who lived inside of him. Now remember, this sounds like recap, but I'm going to go now to where we had to stop. When that demon spoke out of that man's mouth, recorded in the Gospels, what did that man say? I paraphrase. We know who you are, Jesus, thou Son of God. Isn't that amazing? They knew who he was. A lot of people don't. Have you come to torment us before the time? Can you imagine that demon, as it were? Our time's not up yet. Have you come to torment us before our time? Isn't that amazing? They know time is running out for them. I like that. Someday God is going to say, time's up. And the darkness will be shattered. And Jesus said, or Jesus commanded them into the herd of swine. And the Bible tells us that 2,000 swine, pig, ran into the Sea of Galilee and drowned themselves. They drowned. You got all that? Did everybody hear me? Okay, turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. Now this is totally, I'm going to be giving you some stuff now that you're going to say, this is really fascinating, or you're going to say, see, honey, I told you we shouldn't have gone to church today. I do not believe that demons and angels are the same. Matthew 12, 43. Park right there for a second. The descendants that came from the Nephilim or Raphaim, recorded in the Bible, there is a group of them called Anakim. And there was one who was noted in the Bible as being the patriarch of this bizarre group of things, people, things, called Anak. And he had a lineage, and in that lineage, remember, we talked about them last week, Goliath was one of them. A genetic freak, some strange human-like being that is related to the Raphaim, the Nephilim of the Old Testament. There's an account in the Bible where one of David's mighty men of valor encountered two of them. At the same time, two of them. It says in the Bible, it was a snowy day. And this man, this warrior of David, killed both these men who were men, great men of stature, lion-like. What does that mean? Matthew 12, 43. When Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? Dry places, seeking rest and finds none. That's the New King James version of your Bible. Dry places. NIV. When an impure spirit comes out of a man and goes through places, goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. The English Standard Version, ESV. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finds none. Do you find that a little strange, people? Why does Jesus point out that when a demon leaves someone, it avoids places where there's water? You ever see this before? Matthew 12:43, the International Standard Version, the ISV. Whenever an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it wanders through waterless places looking for a place to rest, but finds none. The New American Standard Version of 1977 writes, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but does not find it. The Christian Standard Bible, the CSB, when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but doesn't find any. The Aramaic New Testament, one of the oldest languages in the world, Aramaic, not Arabic, Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. But whenever a foul spirit goes out from a man, it wanders about in places without water, and it seeks rest and does not find it. You find that strange, people? The demons are cast out of the man into pigs, and the pigs run into the water, and they're drowned. The giants that are occupying the earth and are guilty of this, or offspring of this breed, the Bible says, were washed away in the flood that came in Noah's great flood. Only to reappear again after the flood, the Bible says. They reappeared again. If Goliath is this hybrid thing, if the Raphaim and Nephilim are these hybrid things, the result of male, angelic male intercourse with human female, then when they die, where do they go? What are they? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? Do they go in between? Where do they go?
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What You Really Need to Know, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Well, as we can clearly see, knowing what Scripture has to say about living the Christian life is essential if we want to be victorious over Satan and the lies that come out of false ministries. But if you're not sure how to go about studying the Bible, we'd love to help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the Tools icon. Now, once you're there, click on How to Study the Bible. It's really that easy, and we're sure you'll find the basic tips that Pastor Jack lays out very helpful. So head over to that website, jackhibbs.com. Be sure to click on the Tools icon, and then click on How to Study the Bible. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.